You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks.
Much stronger. Yeah.
All right. I apologize. You're getting better.
Yeah, I apologize for Wednesday. That was weak. I don't know what happened there.
Getting better, feeling better.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm back. Back in the saddle again. Ready to go.
You're out of Canada. That's what it is.
I'm out from underneath the oppression. Wow. Hey, here's some big news now. So our prime minister now says that he wants to look at our electoral reform. He wants to work with the other socialist party.
Yes.
And he wants to bring about a reform to our elections. So, gee, I wonder what that means. I wonder what he's trying to do with that.
That's great. More freedom.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. It's unbelievable. Well, he keeps shooting himself in the head. I don't know if you heard about the ArriveCan scam here in Canada.
Oh, yes.
The government did up an app that we had to use to cross the border. If you're on an airplane, you had to fill it out before you came over the border and make sure you were tested and all that. So it was supposed to be $600,000. It ended up being $60 million.
Yep.
And this corporation had two employees. They got $60 million. Unbelievable. Only in politics can you get away with that. Wow.
Yes.
Crazy. Yeah, I think we're going to talk.
I think that isn't just politics, because if I just looked at the books, we have two employees and we cracked about $54 million last year.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I think. Oh, you didn't see that in your paycheck? Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
Oh,
I know. You do a lot of this, but I'm taking care of the books and we'll get it to you. I feel your pain. So, you know, we will make sure because I'm just like you.
Well, I do feel that I'm elect to be here with you. I mean, when you called me and said, hey, could you be a superstar co-host of mediocre podcast? I thought this is of God.
Would you want to host with a superstar? You misunderstood.
That's what it was. When's the other guy showing up? There's a pastor friend who listens to Tim Talks all the time. His name's Vasi. And Brother Vasi's out in Calgary. And he's been pastoring a church for, I think, around 15 years now. And he goes, I was deceived. He said, my pastor said, would you just take the church until I can find another guy to take it?
Until I can find somebody else.
It's been 15 years. He's still looking. So, Brother Vasi, just hang in there. It's coming.
I talked to a guy who was an usher, and the pastor had said, can you just fill in this week? Just fill in this week because so-and-so is missing.
Right.
He said, that was over 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Be careful what you volunteer for in the independent movement. Wow. All right. Calvinism, new Calvinism. This new Calvinism has really...
Yeah, new Calvinism is the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the thing. It's very appealing. Calvinism to a younger generation is like... old castles with cobwebs. And new Calvinism is like the new hip trendy internet cafe on the corner.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it really gives people a freedom to do whatever they want in the name of Christ, and they're doing it. I mean, why is drinking so popular in so many churches today? Why are so many Christians availing themselves to alcohol? Because New Calvinism says you can do that. You can find an experience with God in that. And that's where it's coming from, a lot of it.
Yeah, God's grace has so overflowed in your life that really there's a newness and a freshness is what is said. There's such a newness and freshness that as you walk with the Lord, you'd be surprised the things that people think are wrong, but God's grace has sort of made you capable of partaking in that.
Yeah. I'm reading again from newcalvinist.com, and I don't know who wrote this. I just looked it up, and I don't trust everything on the internet, but this is what they say. The idea that believers should strive to live in obedience to God's moral law is dismissed as legalism. And we as, you know, independent Baptists have been shot with that many times. No, says the New Calvinist, we are free in Christ. Driscoll says that he hates religious people who have rules to obey and lists of do's and don'ts. He teaches that grace and works are antithetical. Works is me boasting. Grace is me boasting about Jesus. Works is me looking at what I've done. Grace is looking at what Jesus has done. So that's where they're coming from. And again, it's a lot of semantics, a lot of, you know, let's throw some words out and we'll make them whatever we want. But that's the basic idea. You don't live by a set of laws. You just do what you want to do and we'll work God into it.
Man, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said. I'm still stumped by the fact you don't believe everything on the internet.
I know. I'm a little skeptical.
I thought there were aliens in Miami.
Well, sometimes.
Man.
They come from California. California.
I am dumbfounded. I can't get past that. I mean, okay, Calvinism, the tulip, New Calvinism, I got that. But you don't believe everything on the internet? I'm stumped.
Well, I'm starting a whole new doctrinal position on that. And I hate the internet.com. I'm going to start that. So, yeah.
You can find it on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be on the internet. Internet.com.
Yeah. Yep. It'll be there. There'll be videos. There'll be all kinds of great stuff. You can find it there. Yeah.
I know we're diverting pretty fast, but yeah. I've heard a lot of preachers preach against technology while they're preaching from their iPad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, guilty. There you go.
But, okay, so I can't think of it just right off the cuff, but the passage that talks about turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness, that's what that is. You know, that God's grace means you can still do anything worldly and somehow honor him. Dumbfounds me. I'm so puzzled that with all of the scripture, because our God is a consistent God.
Right.
I mean, I am the Lord, I change not, the Bible says.
Yeah.
And so there is a consistency from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation 22.
Yeah. For all have sinned. Let's throw some verses out there that maybe would be a hardship. We've all sinned. We all know that. Are we so depraved in our sin that we can't ask God for salvation? Well, I certainly wasn't. I mean, I knew I was a sinner and I needed salvation. And I heard it from the gospel. Nobody forced me. Nobody made me. It was offered to me that I might have my sins forgiven if I would simply call on Christ to be my Savior. And so what verse says we are totally depraved and that we cannot receive Christ? I don't know one.
Well, they use often, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Sure.
And they will oftentimes categorize the call to Christ, the prayer for salvation, as a work. And so, therefore, you know, it's impossible. So that's a misapplication, obviously, of that scripture.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are to walk in newness of life. Newness of life does not mean that that it's just a new cover on sinful things. It means we now have the capability to obey the scripture and indeed now have an obligation to obey the scripture. You know, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are new. That verse gets twisted into all things are okay now because you are new.
Right. The verse that I really try to use and try to promote is that verse that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do they refute that? How do they deny that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Are they saying that's only the elect?
Yeah, it's only the elect that will do that.
Wow. Have you, again, I've not met, I don't think I've ever met anybody that, you know, said, yeah, I was just living in the world and all of a sudden I felt an overcoming need to accept Christ as my Savior without anybody ever presenting that need to them. Anybody that I know that's gotten saved, somebody has led them to Christ. And I would say that a lot of the people that I know that have gotten involved in Calvinism were already saved. They already knew Christ as their Savior. They were raised in usually a Baptist church, and they found this new doctrine and were intrigued by it and got involved in it. But they weren't just walking down the street one day and were overcome by, you know, the grace of God and said, I've got to find God. I've got to get saved.
Yeah, well, you forget verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
Yeah.
How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And so, right. There are those that will hold to that position that because that person is going to be saved, then they're going to hear somebody preach the gospel. Mm. So if the Lord leads you to give somebody the gospel, go ahead, because it may be predestined.
Right.
But it's almost the idea, not tell everybody. We don't have the obligation to tell everyone.
Right.
We have the obligation to be prompted by the Lord when it's time.
Okay. So then if you are in a church and there is no emphasis upon trying to reach the world, going to all the world and preach the gospel, what happens to a church? What happens to that congregation after a certain amount of time? I had very few of any people ever walk by our church and say, I just felt compelled to come into this church. I was walking by and I just felt compelled to come in. I would say maybe a handful of people in 30 years of pastoring that mm-hmm. people walked by. Again, most people that are in our church, somebody invited somebody to come and hear the gospel, and they got saved.
Yes.
If you don't have that, what happens to that church? They die out.
Well, that church, they don't necessarily die out. Many, many of our Baptist churches die out. But this new Calvinism, there's a resurgence and there's a growth because now, basically, and I know I'm talking extremes, so I don't mean to be fully extreme, but basically nothing's wrong. So if, you know, that certainly appeals to this generation, this younger generation, that, you know, there's not really much that is wrong.
Right.
Some of the, you know, way far reaching, you know, transgenderism and on, you know, like that, you know, crimes, of course, being wrong. But other than that, you can, if you can go to a bar and enjoy Christ, then what are you going to bring into the church services and into the church itself?
Right, right.
That you can also enjoy Christ. So there's such a loosening of our walk with the Lord that everything's okay,
yeah.
Basically. You know, the things that have been preached on many times are okay.
Here's another statement from that article. New Calvinism wants us to believe that God's grace means that the New Testament Christian is free from the bondage of God's moral law. Mark Driscoll uses the interpretation of Scripture to justify what he refers to as a new covenant, as new covenant tattoos. He declares in a sermon, you are free in Christ to be weird. So that's what you're talking about. And so anything goes. And I've seen some of those churches, I've studied some of those churches, and anything does go. It's sad.
Well, yes, if you just look at some of the things that are going on in those churches with the pastors and leadership and things like that. And unfortunately, that can be said about Independent Baptist too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to even have to say that, but there are those that wind up leaving the things of the Lord because they love the world. You know, yeah. The Bible talks that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I mean, that's a guy who went on revival trips and preached right along with Paul. And he wound up, being allured by the world. So, Acts, it says that even some of your own selves are going to wind up rising up and leading people astray even. And so we do have to be very careful. But you are right. There's a trend of really it doesn't promote personal holiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I see that in so many newer churches today. And it weakens the church. It weakens the gospel message. And I think some people, anytime I see a new movement like this, it's sometimes a desperation to come up with something new so that we can get people's attention and draw them into the church. And it doesn't always mean that it's better. And I'm begging people, let's get back to some of the fundamentals of the faith where we come in holiness and we worship a holy God. And it's not about us and what we feel and what we want. It's about what God ordains. And these new movements don't hold to that. It's just, we want you to come and feel good about your worship and feel good about you. And we'll all leave having, felt better. And that's not always good worship.
Yeah, let me give you an example of what we're talking about. We're talking about things that this happened in a church like this that I know exactly how it happened and why. But the pastor got up in a new Calvinist church. He got up and asked every lady in the church to stop wearing dresses. Please do not wear dresses to church, because when we have visitors come
right,
and they're wearing slacks, the ladies are wearing slacks, make them uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is doing is, now this is exactly what I said, you're making an offense to the gospel.
Wow.
So, you are making an offense to the gospel. Now, I'm not going to get into the slacks issue or whatever, but that is a way of what we're talking about.
Right.
That, because you should not make an offense, he said that you're guilty mm-hmm. of making an offense to the cross. And so, he didn't want any of the ladies to wear dresses. So, that makes a fundamental difference in the makeup of your congregation,
right?
The way that the many women would feel like, I want to dress up to go to church. I want to give God my best, thinking, if they're thinking that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just that is an example of what we're talking about. We're not necessarily saying that many new Calvinist churches believe that rape is okay or murder is okay. That's not what we're saying.
No.
But it is interesting whenever he talks about, it's the moral law that doesn't apply.
Right.
So then you can kill now? Well, no, that still applies. Well, what moral law?
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I had some young men tell me that by wearing a suit and a tie, I really, I turn people off, because that's an authority figure and people see that as harmful, and they automatically shut you down because authority has been corrupted and all that kind of stuff. I said, well, that's funny. I said, because every newscaster I watch has a suit and tie on, and every coach in the, pro leagues, in hockey all wear suit jackets on the bench, and they have to wear suit jackets when they're traveling. And I said, that's not offensive to people. How come it is if I'm preaching the gospel? I mean, some of the ideas that people have.
It's a requirement in our government floors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a smokescreen for other things.
Yes.
That's just a diversion from, we want to do what we want to do and we want to feel comfortable, and it's overwhelming, and it's coming into a lot of even our independent churches, and I don't like it, and I think it's causing hurt.
Is it more important to look authoritarian or to speak authoritatively?
Hmm.
I mean, that's the next thing,
right?
You shouldn't look like this,
Right.
And now you shouldn't sound like this, right. And now you shouldn't say this.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
And let me say, I've preached without a tie on. I've preached without a jacket on. I mean, it's not about the clothing. It's not about that.
That's right.
I wear a suit because I grew up wearing a suit. I wear a suit because I feel comfortable in a suit. I wear a suit because I think that's something that I can do to honor the Lord a little more. And if somebody comes to church and they don't have a suit on, I don't think, oh man, they're not right, they're not saved.
That's
I don't
right.
think that. I'm glad they're there. But for me, that's my stance, and that's what I like. And you know, I don't want to be an offense, but at the same time, I think there has to be an understanding of what is respectful, what is good and helpful. I think that all has to be in play. All has to be in play. All right.
Well, there's a lot of things going around, and you know, just that we can't even get to every single aspect about this.
No.
But to understand the foundation, and then these weird branches that are coming out of these roots, and you're wondering, where does that come from? It's still rooted in an incorrect biblical doctrine.
Right.
And so it's an unbiblical doctrine. I believe all 5 points of the tulip is unscriptural.
Yes.
And of course, that is my concept. That's my opinion of it. And so therefore, I think that it's all dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And the deceitfulness of it is, well, no, that's not what I mean.
Right.
Well, this is how Calvinism in all of the books are defined by Calvinists themselves.
Right.
So, you know, you can say, well, that's not what I mean. Well, then why are you using that phrase?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't say it better. You have summed it up, my friend, once again, and brought us to a conclusion par excellence.
In other words, shut the little guy up.
Yeah, it's time. We've had enough.
That was just a polite way of saying, all right, we're done.
No, I want to go out and you know, just live in sin for a while and enjoy Christ. So, getting out of here.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
I want to go to Michigan and enjoy Christ.
Oh, boy.
What a shame.
That'd be tough. That'd be tough for you. Are we going to tackle the flat earth on our next series of Tim Talks?
You know, we can. Yeah. I've been studying it somewhat, and it's the most bizarre thing I've ever read.
It's bizarre. Yeah. I don't know if we can do 3 whole, you know, episodes. It can be shut down.
Oh, yeah, we can.
Well,
we can.
Well,
we can have a blast.
Yeah, the first 10 minutes.
For 5 minutes, we'll be serious,
right?
And we'll then we'll have a great blast.
Yeah, we'll give it 10, and we'll tell you what it's all about, and then we are going to just tear it to shreds. Get ready. We have had a number of people ask us about it. It is going around. I don't know how people get involved in this stuff, but. We'll take a look. That'll probably be the next set of Tim Talks. So we'll get to that. So
that'll be fun.
Check it off the list. All right. I'm Al Stone, and I am traveling for not only the Canadian Gospel Project, but the American Gospel Project, the Can-Am Gospel Project, trying to reach America next with the gospel. We're just making preparation to finish off Canada here with the last 1.5 million John of Romans we've got to do, and then moving on full-time in to try and help America. So be a part of that. Look up the American Gospel Project, theamericangp.com. Great website tracking where John of Romans are going there in the States. And then we're being a part of that by supplying John of Romans to that project and raising funds for it. So great, great things happening there.
This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. Please make sure you give us a rating, a review, and you've already been compelled. It's foreordained that you should subscribe.
Yes, it's of the Lord. And feel it. You'll feel it if you don't. Yeah, you'll know. There you go. This is Tim Talks. I hope you have a great weekend, eh? And we'll be back on Monday with a brand new edition. Probably the flat earth. And we better hurry up because we're so close to the edge, we're in danger of falling off. This is Tim Talks. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, taking interest in ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.